145. Evangelization at Sekar, April the 24th, 1945. Jesus is speaking to a large crowd in the center of a square. He has climbed on a stone bench near the fountain. The crowds are around him. Also the 12 are around him. Their faces are dismayed, or annoyed, or they clearly show disgust at certain contacts. Bartholomew, and the Iscariot in particular, clearly show their embarrassment, and would like to be as far as possible from the Samaritans. The Iscariot is sitting astride the branch of a tree, as if he wanted to dominate the scene, while Bartholomew is leaning against a door in a corner of the square. The prejudice is evident, and clearly visible in all of them. Jesus, on the contrary, has not changed his usual attitude in the least. Nay, I would say that he is endeavoring to prevent his majesty from frightening the people, and at the same time he tries to let it shine, to remove all doubts. He caresses two or three little ones, and asks them their names. He takes an interest in an old man, to whom he gives alms himself. He replies to two or three questions, which are put to him on private matters, not on general problems. The first one is the request of a father whose daughter had eloped, and is now begging to be forgiven.
Forgive her at once.
But I suffered because of her master, and I still suffer. In less than a year, I have grown 10 years older.
Forgiveness will relieve you.
Impossible. The wound is still there.
That is true. But in the wound, there are two parts that hurt. One is the undeniable affront you receive from your daughter. The other is the effort to cease loving her. Remove at least the latter. Forgiveness, which is the highest form of love, will remove it. You must consider, poor father, that your daughter was born of you, and is always entitled to your love. If you knew that she was suffering from a physical disease, and that she would die unless you cured her yourself, would you let her die? Most certainly not. Consider then, that you, with your forgiveness, can put an end to her trouble, and bring her back to wholesome instinct. Because you must realize that she was overwhelmed by the basest material instinct.
So you would advise me to forgive her?
You must.
Will I be able to see her move about the house, and not curse her for what she has done?
In that case you would not have really forgiven her. Your forgiveness must not consist only in opening once again the door of your house to her, but in reopening your heart. Be good man. What? Shall we not have for our own child the patience we have for a restless steer?
A woman, instead, asks Jesus whether she ought to marry her brother-in-law, to give a father to her little orphans.
Do you think he will be a real father to them?
Yes, Master, I do. They are three boys. It takes a man to guide them.
Marry him then, and be a faithful wife to him, as you were to your first husband, who passed away.
The third person is a man who asks him whether he will be doing the right thing or not by accepting an invitation to go to Antioch.
Man, why do you want to go there?
Because I have not enough means here for myself and my large family. I met a Gentile who would employ me because he saw how skillful I am in my work, and he would take on also my sons. But I would not like the scruple of a Samaritan. May seem strange to you, but there it is. I would not like to lose our faith. That man, you know, is a heathen.
So, nothing contaminates unless one wants to be contaminated. Go to Antioch and be of the true God. He will guide you, and you will be the benefactor of your master, who will acquire the knowledge of God through your honesty.
Jesus then begins speaking to the crowd.
I have heard many of you, and I have perceived that each of your hearts is rent by a secret sorrow, a grief of which you are not even aware. Your sorrow has been accumulating for centuries, and neither the reasons expressed by you, nor the insults hurled at you can dissolve it. On the contrary, it becomes deeper and deeper, and weighs like snow, that becomes ice. I am not one of you, neither am I one of those who accuse you. I am justice and wisdom. And once again, I will quote Ezekiel to solve your case. He speaks of Samaria and Jerusalem, in a prophetic manner, and he says that they are daughters of one mother, and calls them Ola and Olibah. The first to fall into idolatry was the former, whose name is Ola, because she was already deprived of the spiritual help from union with the Father of Heaven. Union with God is always salvation. She changed true wealth, true power, and true wisdom with poor wealth, power, and wisdom of one who was inferior to God, who was even lower than she was. And she was seduced to such an extent as to become the slave of the way of living of her seducer. She wanted to be strong, and instead became weak. She wanted to be superior, and became inferior. She became insane, because she was imprudent. It is not easy for one to get rid of an infection when one has imprudently become infected by it. You must say, inferior. No. We were great. Yes, you were great. But how? At what cost? Do you know how many people, also amongst women, become rich at the dreadful cost of their honor? They achieve something that may come to an end. They lose something that never ends, their reputation. When Olibba saw that Ola's folly brought her wealth, she wanted to imitate her, and become more deranged than her sister. And was thrice as guilty, because she had the true God with her. And she should never have trodden on the strength that she received from that union. And a terrible severe punishment was inflicted on the twice crazy fornicatrix Olibba, and a more severe punishment will be imposed. God will turn his back on her. He is already doing so, in order to go to those who do not belong to Judah. Neither can God be accused of being unfair, because he does not impose himself. He opens his arms to everybody. He invites everybody. But if one says to him, "Go away," he goes away. He goes to seek love elsewhere, to invite other people, until he finds someone who says to him, "I will come." I therefore say to you, that you can find relief from your torture, you must find it by meditating on what I told you. Ola, recover your consciousness. God is calling you. The wisdom of man consists in acknowledging his faults. The wisdom of the spirit lies in loving the true God and his truth. Do not look at Olibba, or Phoenicia, or Egypt, or Greece. Look at God. That is the fatherland of every righteous soul, heaven. There are not many laws, but only God's. Through the law, one achieves life. Do not say, "We sinned," but say, "We do not want to sin anymore." You have the proof that God still loves you, and that he has sent his word to say to you, "Come." I say to you, "Come." Have you been offended and proscribed? By whom? By your own fellow creatures. But God is above them, and he says to you, "Come." The day will come when you will rejoice, because you were not in the temple. Your hearts will rejoice at that. But souls will rejoice even more, because God's forgiveness will already descend upon the righteous hearts scattered throughout Samaria. Prepare his coming. Come to the universal Savior, fellow children of God, who have lost your way.
Some of us at least would come, but those on the other side do not want us.
And once again, with the priest and prophet, I say to you, I am about to take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel associated with him. And I will join it to the stick of Judah, and make them one stick. Do not go to the temple. Come to me. I do not reject anyone. I am called the king dominating over everybody. I am the king of kings. I will purify all peoples, if they wish to be purified. I will gather you together, O herds without shepherds or with idle shepherds, because I am the good shepherd. I will give you one tabernacle only, and I will place it in the midst of my believers. That tabernacle will be the source of life, the bread of life. It will be light, salvation, protection, and wisdom. It will be everything, because it will be the living one given as food to the dead, to make them live. It will be God whose holiness will overflow to sanctify. That is what I am, and will be. The days of hatred, of incomprehension, and of fear have come to an end. Come, people of Israel. People separated. People afflicted. People remote. You are a dear people, infinitely dear, because you are a land weak, because you have been wounded by an arrow that has opened the veins of your souls, and has let the vital union with your God escape. Come. Come to the bosom where you were born. Come to the breast from which you received life. Kindness and warmth are still here for you. Come. Come to the life and to salvation.
It all ends thus.